everybody. Thank you so much for being here for our next call in the Buddhas and Butterflies context of the fight response. This week, we're working with transforming anger into its healthy role of movement and momentum. Now, I came very prepared. It looks like I may have actually been in a fight for this week, as I had some dental work done. So it actually isn't super obvious, but it's looking a lot better today. You should have seen me yesterday. There was a fair amount of swelling going on. I unexpectedly had a molar removed on Monday, along with a cavity that was needing to be filled. That was taken care of as well. And healing is going wonderfully and underway beautifully. It has affected my speech just a little bit, though. So if you're wondering why I might be just a little extra difficult or my speech might be challenging to hear in a certain way, just know that's what's up for me. And it's actually going pretty good. I'm adjusting pretty well to life without that molar. And yeah, that's also what's behind any additional sort of swelling or leaking that seems to be coming into my eye from that swelling. Okay. Without further ado, now you know my intention for today. I'm going to invite us to settle on in and get comfy, cozy. As you do, making any adjustments that you need to settle on in for today. If you could get 5% more comfortable, how might you shimmy, shake, adjust, move, grab a blanket or a pillow? And as we get settled, I'm going to invite you to begin here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in, to receive, to drink in life. Every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that feels pleasant, even neutral, taking time to be with it, to savor that, and to appreciate it on purpose. And as you drink that on in, I'm going to invite you to also, on purpose, scan to find something else to drink in. Scanning either outwardly or inwardly for anything in your environment that might seem to look or potentially sound or smell or just seem to feel really beautiful to be with. Perhaps it's a taste. But on purpose, scanning your environment and locating anything in particular that feels good to be with. And letting your attention reside there. As your attention hangs out here, appreciating what it is you like the most about this particular place that you found yourself appreciating. What is it you like the most about it? And as you notice that, the invitation is to continue to appreciate it by means of observing it, as well as savoring it. Almost like you would let a really yummy, delicious, high-end piece of chocolate melt in your mouth. In that same way, letting that really, really savor and land here. Now as that lands, noticing how your body responds, And if any part of that is pleasant, easy, beautiful to be with, I invite you to savor that along with everything else. Continuing this process for as little or as much as you like over the next coming while. And knowing this is a resource that you can return to at any point in time when we're working together. Thank you for calling this medicine in for today. And thank you for being here as you are. Thank you for bringing all of you to the table. Thank you to your families, your ancestors, your lineages, to all of those that have come before, and to all of those to come. Thank you deeply for those that have caretaken and stewarded these various lands, that have nourished us all, that have allowed for our existence to be here as it is. We give tremendous thank you and gratitude. And may that continue to ripple through their families and their ancestors and their lineages in really good ways. Blessings for you on today's journey. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. As I start off with today's session, looking at the anger that's within the fight response, it gets pretty spicy pretty quickly, as you can imagine it might be. And it's interesting that spiciness, I'm going to say, lives in the anatomical region of the thymus, but it's not quite connected to the thymus, which hangs just above the heart. It's closer to the back body, as well as a little bit more to the side, another side of it all. So it's not necessarily in the thymus, but it's in that region, closer towards, again, the back body. And in its particular state, because the body mind has recognized how much heat, how much fight, how much anger, how much fire that brings, it's like there's this fear of that potentially creating a burnout situation, which has happened previously, so it's got good reason to think that. And it's also got a sense of, I know what to do with this, because previously it's burnt us out, so now I'm gonna make this really numb, cold, I'm gonna make it go quiet, and I'm gonna manage it by means of shutting it down, putting it on ice, saying, this isn't going anywhere again. We're not gonna let that create a burnout and exhaustion the way that it has before. So a couple things. First, we're gonna go to those past experiences of being burnt out from your own fiery, angry responses, whether or not you did those out loud, outwardly, or held them inward. And we tend to have an avenue that we like to work with anger more than the others. We'll tend to have avenues where we either express it outwardly, or we tend to overly hyper contain it, and then it comes out in weird ways, usually at some juncture. And by weird, I mean usually quite inopportune for you as well as the person receiving it. They pass the salt. Screw you. What's going on? What happened here? What? And there's just this hyper exaggerated response to the situation at hand because of the stuffed anger. And I spoke about that a little bit last week. But as we work with this is more so working with the times in which there was so much anger, whether it was out or inward, that it led to a depletion of resources within you to the point where your body mind lost chi through your liver, your kidney, and your spleen alike. And that depletion of, oh, it's almost like a holy trinity of sorts. I'm not being sacrilegious, I hope. Not my intention. More playfulness around the holy trinity of, like, where our big chi resources come from, the liver, the kidney, the spleen. If these guys go down, ooh, it's tough. So we're gonna work with this chi deficiency from that burnout by going into, there's an acupuncture point about a hand's width down roughly from the inside edge of the knee. Yeah, it's about that far down. I want to say that. Yeah. And as we work with this point on the kidney meridian, it also brings together the spleen and the liver. So this is the point where the three sort of intersect with one another. And this particular point has a lot of excess wind, and wind just agitates anger and rage even further. So for this, we need to do a few things. We're going to start off with, no surprise, the Sidri. It's actually going to continue for a lot longer than the others typically do. This is going to run for the next 3 weeks, 21 days. So this is running till about January 4th or so. Which is roughly, I believe, when we'll start the worry session. It's going to work right up until that particular session. And my sense is that this is also going to be relevant to the other two sessions that we have between now and then. So this is also working at the anger inherent within grief and the burnout that happens and the grief that we happen to occur and experience or incur and experience from rageful expressions, as well as addressing it through our integration time with the breathwork opportunity in December. So as we work with this today, the seizure is going to continue throughout those 3 weeks alongside of diaphragm to intestines. Center for control and emotional processing, releasing into all the stuff that we just don't need to hang on to anymore. So for this seizure, starting with C, circulation of all the healing resources, blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, our gunk, our waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness. Right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, and neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor. Also working with endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help our nervous system, our immune system, for that matter, most of our body mind to heal. Okay, also working with the balance of yin and yang, feminine and masculine, or nourishment and protection. And then also bringing in hydration, helping these cells to bring in water and joy and release any impurities that just don't need to be here. Then D for defrag. Much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out the clutter that doesn't need to be here, what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. And as I say that, there's actually this movement between what felt like this point saying, I can't digest, I can't take in one more thing, I refuse, I'm too pissed off, to actually there, it felt like this swing to acceptance. So we're actually going to do, for this defrag, work with specifically that consciousness of movement through digestion to the point of acceptance. Then all the R's. Reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up the possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. Thinking of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. And through this point, and all the way down through the inner leg, through the chi channels, the meridian channels, otherwise known as chi channels for today, are carrying with it. I see it's just this image of like green pussiness. So actually going to run a body chemistry to alleviate specifically any bacterial buildup and imbalances through the microbe system, microbiome, as this is clearing through again liver, kidney, and spleen channels alike through all of it. So think of giving those liver, kidney, spleen channels a spring clean, so to speak. And as we run body chemistry through here, also releasing any excess heat that has not been eaten up, so to speak, by the bacteria that are here, which is why the bacteria is here in the first place. And as we support your general immune system, we also need to simultaneously now run a body chemistry through your very bones. So this is actually releasing from anger that's stored all the way through to the very bones, which means this pattern isn't just stored in your lifetime. This is going back and including 6 generations worth, in particular through dad's side of the family lines. And then on mom's side, we're actually going back further, 8 generations. And we're looking at all the various different ways that the ancestors process anger, whether that was through outward rage, whether that was channeling in unproductive ways, whether that was working with it through the act of suppression, repression, oppression, oppressing it within ourselves or within our communities, our structures of our societies alike. And as we clear this on out through the channels of the liver, the kidney, the spleen, we simultaneously need to run a third body chemistry for the part of the reproductive system, the cervix. And it's actually cleaning out both parasites and molds that don't need to be here. That's been influencing the sexual energy that is necessary for procreating or proliferating healthy microbiome. So after we clear that out, then we can link in the reproductive system to the microbiome, along with the kidney and the essence of the kidney and the adrenal complex, to bring in procreation of the healthy energies of the healthy microbiome and what it means to be in balance. Which also means bringing in, I should say, the energy of being able to discern between what we need to accept and what we need to reject. And bringing in ancestral wisdom to guide that, along with integrating with your own sensibilities, linking that through to three things: your prefrontal cortex, your third eye. The prefrontal cortex is much like the heart of the brain. The third eye bringing in the brow chakra and its capacity for intuition. And the third thing is the minor chakras of the nipples, which are very much about sensing what's nourishing for ourselves and being able to take in what feels good. They help us to discern what's actually for us and what isn't. Okay, and for whatever reason, this is linking into the Gala Aponeurotica, which hangs out. It's a muscle sort of sheath, connective tissue more so. There is a muscular component to it, but I feel like it's way more connective tissue-y than it is muscle-y, to be technical. And it's actually the muscle that hangs out right around the crown and goes down and connects into various different connective sheaths for different musculatures throughout the system. And it's primarily involved in birth. And there's this sense here of like, I can't seem to get out of something. And it's working with something that you felt like you were struggling to get out of when you were going, oh, okay. It's going into when the water sac, the placental sac, ruptured. For most of you, that likely happened. And at some point prior to that, there was a sense of it didn't feel like it was going to give. It felt like there was a blockage there. One or two of you might have been born in the sac. That is something that can happen. And in which case, it feels like a very big blockage around here. Oh, sorry, Rox. I accidentally bumped my dog. So as we work with this, we're working in general with the theme of where is it you felt like you've been stuck in the energy of fight or in anger and you just can't seem to get out of it? Like, where is it that something just won't seem to end? Then we're linking that through to the crown chakra for its consciousness of transcendence, linking it down through the Scala Aponeurotica muscle connective tissue-y sheath thing combo of it all. And we're essentially repatterning that there is indeed a way out. Like, this body mind actually knows how to get out of this. And it doesn't have to be so stuck on the part where it felt stuck. It actually gets to remember that this also gave and it released and there was flow and it got to be fluid again. And here we're running the permissions. I can move through this. I can move through this. And that's linking into, I see it going through every one of the 12 houses, every stage, one by one by one, and particularly linking into where the first joins the second to the third, the transition points between the various houses. I can move through this. And with that, we're bringing in the energy of Venus into the blockage that I was saying was living in that region behind the thymus gland. Bringing in grace and order, affection, maternal love, desire, sensuality alike. It's as if it's adding the I can move through this and I might even like it. It might actually feel good. It might even bring some pleasure on occasion to move something through. And here we're releasing the sense that birth has to be painful. I'm not saying it's not painful inherently in and of its own rights, but just relieving the body mind from the belief system that it has to be painful, which then in turn makes pain that much more painful. And it doesn't allow for the opportunity as readily for things like orgasmic birth or the pleasure points to also be received or noticed. And not necessarily that it has to be all orgasmic, but there is a limitation that it makes it harder to find the parts that feel good when we're operating from this particular belief system. So as we release that through the connective tissue of this particular blockage behind the thymus gland, it's like where we're storing agency, and that's the definition here. It's a consciousness of restoration of agency, restoration in the agency that you know, not necessarily intellectually, not necessarily just intuitively, might be a combination of them both or something else, a third thing that happens in the middle between the two of them. You know the way through. You know the way through this too. And then giving yourself permission to be able to act on that. And teasing apart this idea that to take action is somehow in alignment with anger, fighting, and that being a bad thing. And to all the parts of you that wish to do no harm with anger, with fighting, they begin to see that this energy is actually supportive in a good way to help us to move through things, and that we don't have to be fearful about it. That it actually gets to be useful to heal and to bring in goodness of life again. Okay. As that last little bit of the fear, the fight response begins to get met, now we're ready to look at the parts that are just angry, just plain angry, resentful, pissed. I'm not going anywhere, and you can't make me, and there's nothing you can do about it type of energy. It's hanging out in the shoulders. And it has the energy of, I'm going to use a word that's way overused in psychology today, the narcissistic particular pattern. Another way of saying that is the tough, generous pattern, or the part of you that wants to protect the other part of you that feels really sensitive, that feels potentially empathy a lot. So this is how we often cope with it. And people who present as very overt or covert, either way, narcissists, usually have a little bit of sensitive energy within them, which is what they're trying to overcompensate and address and protect. So as we work with this, I'm going to call them the rageful narcissistic shoulders. It's got the energy of like just whipping over and over and over again. And this energy of like punishing, this energy of like there will never be satisfaction from this. The only satisfaction I can get is in continuing to enact punishment. But the actual, like there will never be any justice. There is no sense of justice ever being able to come from this. Okay, gonna take my scarf off for a second there, just so I can free up what I'm feeling here without that in my sensation fields. And again, going right back into that area behind the thymus gland that goes a little bit wider than it by a few inches. It's got the energy of what I'm going to call a stone cold heart that developed for a really good reason. Stone cold hearts that can continue to perpetuate rage and anger and resentment, but for a really good reason. And it's here protecting the heart space. Protecting the little one that got hurt rampantly. And protecting that little one who had no other way to be protected. I'm going to start by offering these words here. Thank you for protecting yourself. Thank you for taking really good care of yourself and knowing what you need, knowing what you needed to protect yourself in times that were tremendously confusing and challenging, that you had no idea what to do. Thank you for your cleverness. And with that, the stone that I saw transforms into a 3, 4-year-old trying to use their will to get their needs met and doing their best to protect themselves in that process. Linking it now to House 5. House of the heart meridian, house of the sun, house of bringing our fullest life force potential available, and letting that narcissistic energy know that it doesn't actually have to do this anymore in the old way, that it's got options, it's got possibilities, and there is a way out because we found it earlier. We know where that is again. And it links through to House 5, connecting it through to the heart, which carries, I'm going to say, the largest scope of possibilities present. As its energy field is 60 to 100 times bigger, it can scan outwardly, it can harmonize a wide variety of things simultaneously, it can find possibilities where there was never any before. Because it was so shut down, away from the heart, it couldn't connect and it couldn't see that, which made it panic that much more and create even more endless cycles of anger. As we bring it closer to the heart energy, it slowly lays all of its ways down that it's been behaving. It no longer needs to keep things at arm's length. It no longer needs to avoid or the pain of people or the fear of people being painful to it again and again and again. And we remind if that happened back then. And now you get to have different options. You don't have to deal with the old ways that you've done before. And as we present different possibilities to this little one, I see them actually start to grow up, to mature as they remember what it is to be loved, to feel the love of the heart, like it carries the warmth of the sunshine. Melting away that cool, stony exterior, layer by layer, bit by bit, moving at the pace of trust for this little one. And bringing, I'm going to say her, it might be a him for you, back to life. Almost like we got to wake it up out of the spell that it was cast under. And as it remembers its true nature of who and what it really is, the need to rage, to resent, changes. And for every one of you, it might be slightly different. My sense is overall, and check with this part for you, that it becomes available to celebrate, to love, to care. To reach out to others and to receive others reaching out to you alike. It works with the energy of being able to both electrically go out as well as magnetically draw in love, affection, tenderness, and care. we're taking with it its previous skill sets, which if narcissists are good at anything, let me tell you what they're best at. It's devotion to excellence. It is being the absolute best. And as we bring in excellence, the devotion to excellence, what is it to be the best through the lens of love, through harmony, through respect, and through what the heart potentially does best, which is often an unsung quality. It's that of dignity. It offers both dignity and connection. We will often compromise one to get to the other, but the heart says, you don't need to choose. I will protect both equally. As you rest in the heart, you get to receive both connection to yourself, to others, to this world, and you get to be held in respect and dignity alike. And as we offer that little one, this energy, while also honoring its gifts of devotion to excellence, it becomes like an unstoppable combination. And then I'm hearing a variety of songs, and I think Bon Jovi might be in here. And it's got the phrase, fight for love, fight for love. And I just want to let this part know that although that's been a noble endeavor and I've had to fight for love, that now it actually simply doesn't have to do it in that old way. It gets to simply receive it. And without needing to fight for it, what would it be like to simply rest in it? And so that part goes, well, that's boring. What am I supposed to do now? To which I'll ask, what do you want to do? If you got to do anything that you wanted to, you got to have it all your way, what might that bring in? And every one of you might have a different answer here again. My sense is overall that this part might also enjoy getting to just sip a cup of coffee, kind of hit retirement, and be able to watch the show of whatever else is happening within the scope of this lifetime. And if that's true for you, those parts, they get to retire. They get to retire anywhere that they want to. You can even take them to a little cruise spot, little tropical vacation, or anywhere else they might feel called to. And as these parts get their opportunity to reunite with restoration and rest and relaxation and regeneration that happens when we retire, they get to offer what I'll say is eldership wisdom. They get to offer what it is they know, their wisdom, their learnings. And they get to rest with the elders of you. Just like you have many different parts of you. Some of you are at different ages and stages of life, quite young. Some are in the middle, and some are at the end. So any other parts of you that are at the end, that they've retired, that they've set up a wise council of elders within you, this part gets to join that rank of community members within you. And these elders continue to steward you and help to guide the younger parts of you. For within you is this rich, deep, layered community of support. As I say that blockage that I saw earlier completely dissolves in its state, in its shape of what's left behind. It leaves a butterfly, which happens to be also my business logo, but it looks kind of like a blue morpho butterfly, which brings in the quality of vibrant transformation. is you get to embody the energy of transformation at the deepest core of your heart and soul. It's like the energy of what's transpired gets sent out like a broadcast signal. I see each one of the wing tips of the butterfly extending through the arms and the legs, spreading this message to any other parts that may also want to follow suit, as the heart is always available to transform and harmonize them together in this way. And as we set the stage for this new energetic way of being within you, and we turn our attention once again to what might remain from what I'm going to again call that fight response. We actually need to let the limbs know you have every right to be angry. You have every right to be angry, to take up arms, protect yourself, to be pissed off, to be resentful, to be rageful, to be furious, to be annoyed, irritated, peeved. And that is good information as you remind the body that anger is simply that information of something that feels like it wants to move, which hasn't had a chance to. I invite you to imagine what it might be like to extend compassion to all those parts, to all those parts that have been shunned for their anger before, that have been disgraced, shamed, dismissed, ignored, locked away, rejected, isolated because of how they've related to you, to anger. And as we remind them that they too are welcome here, it's like those other parts come out of the woodwork and they get to receive what's transpired already energetically. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they all are destined for the same route through. They don't all need to be retired. Some of them actually need to be here in a good way, to do what they do best, to offer their energy of protection. And when we welcome them, it actually makes their job a whole lot easier to do. And I just hear like a permission statement extended to all these different parts, the words, "I will not shame you. I will not shame you." And if we could imagine saying that to anger itself, "I will not shame you. I will not shame you." Anger itself gets to be heard, received, valued. And if you want to go for gold, feel free to even love it too. I don't know about you, but sometimes anger has really had my back. And anger has led me to support and protect myself in really good ways. And anger has allowed for me to create times and movements in which I never would have been able to before. I was really sick and somehow found strength to carry on. When I was going through challenges, and nonetheless, the momentum of my focal points were fueled by some rage. Mostly rage against the machine. It's been a lifelong love affair with anger, helping me to move forward, to progress through goals, through different stages of life. And how that transpired in my 20s when I built my business, and how that kept going through my 30s and up to my mid 40s, as I'm 46 right now, has changed over the years. And each and every exploration held tremendous value in learning and growth, and for that, I am tremendously grateful. And that's but one example. So perhaps you have your own honoring of your own anger and all that's offered you. One more I might have is, without my anger, I don't know that I would have survived. my childhood home. I needed my anger to make it through that. Without that, whew, I'm not sure I would have survived. Perhaps you have something along those lines, that anger got you through a hard moment or a hard time in your life. And as we receive anger for all of its gifts and we honor it for all that it gets to provide for us, it begins to reframe it without shame. And it's through that process allows for the element of disgust to release from the anger response itself, and releasing that through the liver gallbladder complex. And with it, releasing the shame of being a quote unquote angry female, which is often the stage of meme central in our current life, way of living in our modern world. As we release that, underlying that, unhooking the expectation of being shamed for being hysterical with rage. Going back to that time frame in life in which hysteria somehow became a female disease, where we moved from less honoring of the group, the community, the culture, and we put emphasis on the individual. And that creating this whole new set of psychological things, shall we say, for ease, that arose. And the hysteria response that somehow became the sole domain of women was simultaneously also used to disempower what people feared, which is the life-giving capacity that women inherently carry. That's been challenged and attempted to shut down in a variety of different ways through our various different modern day structures. Religion, medical, political, it has all this various different influences. And somehow there's been this acceptance of the expectation of being deemed hysterical for your anger. That again requires its own certain level of shutdown or apathy to cover that up, just to manage life and be through and to exist through that. So, to address this, we're going to the pelvic floor diaphragm. And I hear her say, "Thank God, it's about time. I've been very ignored as of late." And she probably has every right to feel a little sassy and to express that. Perhaps it's been a while since we've been in connection and contact with this part of our body. So our pelvic floor includes all the various musculature, as well as the perineum, that space between either vagina or testes and anus. Now, as we hang out here, we're going to run a cellular repair. Looking at all the wear and tear, all that expectation and the fear of judgment has wrought. And as we release that, releasing as well this essence of rotting, 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 and the inherent grief that's contained within that. And also doing a body chemistry cleanse here of parasites and molds alike. And it feels like a very tangled, messy web. Layer upon layer of being devalued. Okay, this is going back to sort of our earlier work with narcissistic energies. One of the things that the narcissist within us and out there externally alike does to support themselves in being seen as the best is to devalue others. And as we work with this, that devaluation, that expectation for it to be the case, which is inherently seated here and attracting all the other layers over top of it, of the expectation of being considered hysterical for having rage, etc. As we go to the very core of this, running a Sidri on it. Another one is going to continue for the next 8 days. So just until after our next session together. All the same steps. At the same time, bringing in the sacred geometrical representation of the various configurations. It's represented slightly differently in different traditions of the solar plexus chakra. To bring in a sense of confidence, personal empowerment, digestion, meaning I can move through this, and manifestation of what's really here, underlying, underneath, beyond, and around that expectation of being considered hysterical for having anger be present. Without releasing the fear of emotions and the fear of the power of the feminine nature alike. The fear of sensation is here as well, and the fear of feeling is mixed in with it all. And releasing this pattern. Everything that I've expressed up to now is being almost like a dishonoring of your own inherent yin, feminine, nourishing nature. And as we release the dishonoring from within, so too does the expectation of being dishonored from without get to go with it. Releasing this with general consciousness, big four. All four aspects to peel back this layer of who it is you are not. Releasing that through to the heart, along with all five senses, connecting them to the heart for awareness. Just the last little bit holding out just to the right of the perineum on this pelvic bowl. And within that is the anger, the rage about being told you don't belong here. Like your essence, the feminine power, the feminine delicacy, the feminine fragility, the feminine sensuality, the feminine, I'm going to say power through its essence of softness, gentleness, easefulness, and fierceness alike. As we move through all of those aspects, layer by layer by layer. Allowing for your essence as it is to simply be welcomed here all the way through. And it's being welcomed all the way through your masculine side, all the way through your right side of your body, all the way through this part of the pelvis, through to the leg, through to the very foundation upon which your own masculine nature rests. What is it to act from this new place of understanding within yourself? And that might feel like a really big question for right now. And I might not have a clear answer, and it doesn't actually need to have one. It's just sitting with the question. What is it to act authentically from your feminine essence without fear of being considered hysterical for your anger? Without fear of being judged for making strides forward. Without fear of being dismissed because, well, what does this she know? Releasing that all the way through now, your entire masculine side. And that pelvic bowl, repairing the Wei Qi externally on the perineum in this region, this area. The Wei Qi being that protective layer of energy that communicates and synthesizes alike. And as it gets restored, I see the yin essence being welcomed. All the way through the entire body mind, She has every right to be here in all of her expressions. I'm certainly no expert on all the various different Hindu goddesses, but I'm seeing many of their images flash before my eyes in all their different forms, along with all the Greek goddesses. And as we welcome the energy of maiden, of crone, of mother, it's as if all of those goddess energies rise into one configuration, the mother of them all. And I just see you in prostration, bowing. It's what it is to be within you, within yourself, the mother of them all. To be the essence of motherly love. In a way that is different somehow from any of the human mothering you've ever done. But the consciousness of the divine getting to be within you, to pour through you. To pour through your bones, your blood, your soul, through your heart, through your eyes, your ears, your nose, your mouth, your skin, through every single pore, resting in the essence of mother. In a way, that allows you to, even as you're bowing to this energy, somehow still soar within it. I see wings sprouting on your back body, soaring in a new way through the things that get to nurture and nourish your essence. Your essence as the wisest feminine energy there is, the mother to them all. Given many names, grace, beauty, the space between the divine, that which is eternal, hanging out with that is that which is numinous or ineffable, to spirits, to creator, to God, to universe, whatever it is you call this. Surrendering into this mystery, or whatever the word for this is. At the same time, linking in your kidneys in the eighth house energy of death and rebirth, which leads to regeneration over and over and over again with each breath, with each pulsation, with each vibration. Of this connection to this life force energy, the mother of us all. What is it to simultaneously rest and soar within it? What is it to simultaneously rest and soar within it? Linking that through to all five senses and to every limb to simultaneously both rest and take flight within it. Tapping this out here, breathing this in here. As you continue to let yourself rest and soar alike within this energy of the mother of us all, I have a short song to play you. It's about 3 minutes long. It's by Mauk and Anissa. Translates to With Wings. The title is Na Kridlat. Thank you for calling this medicine in. And thank you for drinking in this life in all the ways that you do. Thank you for all of you. May it continue to be a blessed as we move forward through this holiday season. Mwah. Oh, Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. And yes, you're most welcome. I love that you like the energy of the bells being very high frequency and divine energy. I was going back and forth between a few different songs in my head, and so I'm happy that one hit the spot for you too. Okay. Oh yes, I will share the song here for you. Let me find it again. I'm gonna have to press play on it. You might hear it again. How can I find that to share? There it is. I found it. I will copy the song here and I will paste it. There we go. Share, share. Copy song link. And there you go, my loves. Okay. All right. I'm going to officially sign off again and wish you all a beautiful week and sending you all the blessings during this season. Okay. Bye for now. If anyone would like any.